Good morning. I'm just looking. Yeah, I think everything's. I usually get a row because I say good morning before things are switched on. Anyway, maybe I'm not switched on, of course. That's always a possibility. I'll hand over to Marion for our intimations.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. The discussion to conclude the series on the prophets with Amos. Meetings at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson Room. Information from Derek on 882190. Holy Communion will be celebrated next Sunday, the 15th of September. The walking group. The next walking group outing is also on Sunday, the 17th of September, around Vane Farm with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the church car park at 2 p.m. The cycling group. The next outing is on Saturday, the 21st of September, to a mystery destination. Again, contact Derek on 882190. Doors Open Day. We'll be taking part in Doors Open Day on Sunday, the 22nd of September. Harvest Thanksgiving. This year will be celebrated on Sunday, the 29th of September. The next Cash Day, Kids at Church, is Sunday, the 29th of September. The next Coffee Morning is on Saturday, the 5th of October, from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Please come along. If you can assist before or during the event, please add your name to the sheet in the vestibule. I don't think that exists at the moment, but you can always tell somebody else. We had our coffee morning yesterday, and just thanks to everyone who supported our coffee morning yesterday, and the total of £174.50 was raised. Cakes and bric-a-brac are for sale after the service, if you would like to have a look. There are more intimations on the printed sheet and available from the website or Facebook if you don't have a copy. For those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service. Thank you.
So we turn to worship. Let's worship God by singing part of what is Psalm number 8, but it's at hymn number 4. So that's hymn number 4, How Excellent in All the Earth.
Thank you.
let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, the gifts we present before you come from your great goodness and your provision for us. We present these gifts as a token of our love and our desire to serve you in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning, Alistair is leading us in our prayers.
Let us now come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord God, we worship you and give thanks for your great glory and power, which you show to us in your wonderful world. All the things which we enjoy are from your mighty hand, and you alone are to be praised for all the blessings of life. Father, you are worthy of praise from every mouth, of confession from every tongue, of worship from every creature. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. By your grace you created the world, and by your compassion did save the world. One day, O God, countless numbers will bow down and adore you, declaring your majesty, singing and praising without ceasing, and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your praises. Hosanna in the highest. O God of love, we adore you. May we be thankful to you for all your mercies, and more ready to serve you with all our heart. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, as we give you our praise, we also confess our shortcomings and need of your forgiveness. Forgive us for all our wanderings. Forgive us for not listening to your voice calling us into right ways. Forgive us for our complaining and our worrying that have made us lose our trust in you. Forgive us for anger and selfishness and for greed. Lord, you call us to remain true to your name, and forgive us when we have not done that. When we have denied your name through our speech and actions, or indeed our lack of action, showing the truth that faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Lord, we confess that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to hold to your teaching, then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. For all our sins, we are sorry, and pray that they may be taken from us. So hear us now as we bring our own silent prayer to you. Father, we are here in church today to worship you and celebrate your love. May the words we sing and say and the joy with which we come help all who gather here to celebrate. And as we are gathered, help us to know that Jesus is here among us, blessing our gathering, heightening our joy, lifting us to new levels of worship and praise. Help us to see him more clearly, and to believe in him more surely as he makes himself known to us through every part of this service. So hear us now, Lord, as we join in together in prayer, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Just before we sing our next hymn, I should have welcomed our visitors this morning. And just as I say that, because you're related to a former organist here. Right. And I've gone and forgotten your names, having listened to them just at the door, which is typical of me. Yes. Yes, at that point we would have been 1782, we would have been United Secession, I think, then. So have you got the address so we can send the police? We do have some very old cups in the old manse stored there, and the oldest of them we don't use, because if you look at the interior of those cups, you maybe wouldn't want to use them. But yeah. So what were your names again? Peter.
And I'm Susan King, but I was a Beveridge.
Right.
But my father farmed in East Lothian, but my grandfather farmed at Crombie, and was born in Dunfermline. And so I think it must have been, we were discussing it here, that maybe when Rosyth got bigger at the turn of the 20th century.
Right, Crombie became the ammunition depot.
Yes.
Yeah, and so probably the land, that's the land he farmed, and that's perhaps why we're here, to find out about it. That's why they moved to East Lothian to farm, because the
Ministry of Defence
took over
what
the
would
land.
Probably been then the Admiralty.
Yes. Yes.
All fascinating stuff. So, it was just when you were talking about the organist, I thought, right, I must say hello. I should have done it at the beginning, but that's. And just to put that in context, the original organ in here would have been a harmonium, which means it was pedalled. And I've only once been at a service with a harmonium, and the lady that played, she got to the last hymn and she obviously wanted it to go with a bit of gusto, and of course you need more pressure. So you'd have thought she was in the final stages of the Tour de France, the way she was pedalling away and playing. All fascinating stuff. And if anybody wants to know and other bits of history, I was talking to Claire yesterday at the coffee morning, and I mentioned I'd come across a photograph that I'd been given, and it's of my induction social. So some of you might want to see some of those faces, and I showed it to a couple of wee girls down in Limekilns. Can you find Norman? And they're looking and better looking. And I'm right in the middle, and their mum said, he was still a minister. And they went, he's got hair. So have a wee look at that. Anyway, we perhaps should continue in worship. You'll notice that what I've written down here is Season of Creation 2024. The Season of Creation, or Creation Time, or Creation Tide, is a movement within the churches that began some 35 years ago. Would you like to sing? That's quite a nice hymn, isn't it? Well, that's the introduction to what I'm going to say next. You'd never guess I'd been here 34 years. I'll get it right one day. Okay, yeah. Morning has broken. It's a good hymn, and it is a hymn that introduces what we're thinking about and going to think about through this month, finishing up, of course, at the end of the month with our Harvest Thanksgiving. Some 35 years ago, there was an initiative from the Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch, and that was to say that this period of time, from the 1st of September up to the feast that is associated with St. Francis, that we would think about creation. Most of this material comes from the Church of Scotland website, and there a link into the Eco-Congregation website. What's been said is that we know that with the current climate crisis accelerating ecological instability, millions of species, including the human family, are at risk, and the only way forward must be united. And there, what is being talked about is a union of many different churches, along with folks like Christian Aid and other partners in the kind of aid side of the world. This year there was a conference held in Assisi, which of course is associated with St. Francis, looking at ways of embedding prayer for creation within the regular practice of worship. Now, I suspect we don't have many services of worship where we do not remember that God is creator and our need to care for creation. One of those who was at that conference was the eco-chaplain for eco-congregations in Scotland, David Coleman. He says that he begs lovingly to disagree with anyone who might imagine that mainstream prayer and mission of the churches should be other than green. And so we are encouraged to work through this season thinking about the world that we are part of. And that is a very good thing for us to be doing. What has been done by the Church of Scotland and by Eco Congregation Scotland is to use the readings that are set for a particular Sunday. And initially, I looked at the theme. There's lots of things mentioned in Life and Work for this month, the Church of Scotland magazine. There's all sorts of other things. And I thought, this is all, the readings today are all about justice and justice for the poor. And of course, what we remember is that with the way that the world is being treated, those who suffer most from our lack of care are the poorest. And so there is a justice issue in looking at our care for the world. It's not simply about an ecological movement, it is about justice for the poor. And so Irene is now going to read to us from the book of Proverbs and from the letter of James.
The first of today's readings is from Proverbs 22, verses 1 to 2, 8 to 9, and 22 to 23. Generous goodness. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. Second reading today is from James 2, verses 1 to 10, 14 to 17. Favoritism forbidden. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes to your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," then you have you not discriminated amongst yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who have dragged you into the court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him who belonged to you? If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? It is the same faith by itself. If it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. May God bless these readings today. Amen.
And this time I'll remember we're singing a hymn. Hymn 172, Sing for God's Glory That Colours the Dawn of Creation.
Thank you.
I suspect that many of us, during difficult or challenging times, have a tendency to look back to what we feel are better times, either in our memory and very often with a great deal of imagination. It's what we call nostalgia. According to the Collins Dictionary, nostalgia is an affectionate feeling you have for the past, especially for a particularly happy time. Perhaps better than a dictionary definition is a saying or statement that I have heard from a number of folk, including quite a few comedians. Nostalgia isn't what it used to be. If you think carefully about that, you can see a kind of internal sort of pattern or, yes, anyway. So, our memories, are our memories accurate? We can very easily edit out the troubles of the past when we look back to what is, in our minds, a better or less complicated time. I wonder how many of us look back to our youth when summers were endless days of sunshine and winters were frosty, crisp days with enough snow for sledging and snowmen. So different from today with mild, wet winters and cold, wet summers. However, how many of us would really like to go back to the good old days? If we remember the reality of those days. What we tend to desire is all the convenience of modern life combined with the best of what we remember, but maybe more correctly, remember through imagination. And you know, when I say to my children, and probably my grandchildren just wander off, you know, life was so much better in the past. And I'm remembering back to a past that in my mind was so much better than today. And they just look at me. And I say, you know, life was simpler when we didn't have smartphones and internet and instant access to everything. And you've all got your phones out and I gnash my gums, as they say. But what I suspect is that though we have reservations about things like social media and maybe all the things that happen in our modern technological world, we would not like to be without it. How many of us over the last, say, 5 years have been so dependent upon that communication, the ability to see people that we're speaking to, because you can do that on your phone, on your computer, on your tablet, or whatever. Maybe what we want, and it's a contradiction, is the simplicity of the past without losing the complexity of the present. This week I noticed a very brief mention, not much was made of it, but on the 4th of September, it was the 60th anniversary of the Forth Road Bridge. I remember the first time I crossed the Forth Road Bridge. Now, I was a very small boy at that time, and you know that my dad was driving, not me. In the street where I lived, if memory is correct, round about half of the houses in that street, there would be a car. No one could have forecast the amount of traffic that we have on our roads today. It was unimaginable. Interestingly, 1964 was the year that the population of the world reached 4 billion. And for those of you who are into statistics, you'll probably know that this is the year where the population of the world exceeded 8 billion. So in the life of what appears to many people quite a modern bridge across the Forth, the population of the world has doubled. For many years, certainly most of my life, and probably longer, the world has been divided into two parts. And if you listen to the news or documentaries or whatever, you'll hear people talking about the developed world, and that's us, and the developing world, and that tends to be mostly countries in the southern hemisphere, although some of the poorer nations in the northern hemisphere. Or if we put that another way, people in the developing world aspire to the kind of lifestyle the developed world takes for granted. With my love of numbers and statistics, and I apologise for this, I thought, well, let's look at a slightly bigger picture. Let's go from 1950 to 2050. That's 100 years. In that time, we know that in 1950, the population of the Earth, in terms of humanity, was 2.5 billion. It is estimated that we will probably reach 10 billion in 2050. Four times the population. In Genesis, when it talks about creation and God creating humanity, there what is said, if you're reading a more modern version, is that humanity is given rule over nature. And for most of history, that would seem an absolute nonsense. Because for most of history, humanity has seemed to have very little effect on the world. It was such a big place. Of course, authority meant authority over creation as those who acknowledge their creator. At this time in history, it is clear that humanity does indeed shape the world. Oh yes, there are natural forces over which we have no control, but much of the world of nature is at our mercy, us, humanity. The word rule implies responsibility and is better than the word that more commonly used in older translations of the Bible, and there the word that is used is that humanity is given dominion. Dominion has connotations of domination. Some of our memories are not mere nostalgia. In fact, some of our memories, and I realise I'm not speaking to everybody in church today, you probably have to go back to the 1960s to remember this, and there are people here who were not around in the 1960s like I was. And then winters were colder, and there was more snow and there was more frost, and summers were in general more about sunshine and good days. But what is borne out in this change are the words that were spoken some decades ago about people who said we must do something about climate change, about global warming, and about our addition of carbon, and certainly carbon dioxide, to the atmosphere. We were told that one of the effects for a place like the UK, sitting where it does, with an ocean on one side and a continent on the other, that our winters were likely to become warmer, yes, global warming, But our summers were likely to become cooler because there would be more rainfall and it would be cloudier for us. And we were also told that in the midst of all of that, for our nation and maybe more so for other parts of the world, extremes of weather would become more frequent. Now, climate change has always taken place, but the evidence that has grown in these last decades is that that rate of change is being affected by humanity. On a global level, some places are suffering much more in the way of drought, and in other places, much more in the way of flood. We can measure the reduction of polar ice caps and know that sea levels are rising. And in terms of this world of which we are part, it is the poorest who tend to suffer most. In terms of this country, we are certainly suffering more extremes of weather, and I suspect the farming community will tell us how much rain we get now compared to the past. We are not immune. And in our country, who suffers most is usually those who have least power, and those who have least power are very often those who are poorer. Mahatma Gandhi said, "Live simply so others can simply live." This phrase has been picked up by quite a number of organisations, and particularly Christian charities and aid agencies, saying that we have to care for our creation and care for other people. A phrase was used in the news during this week, and it's always about them and they, never about we and us. And this is not about politics, this is a phrase that we maybe need to really think about for ourselves. They know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. It was a political statement on the news. But I would rather say we know the cost of everything and the value of nothing in some ways as part of the rich world, because so often we hear, well, you know, if we do this and we're a bit more green and we don't do this and we do that, all of these, it's going to cost. And yes, it is going to cost. And not just in financial terms, but in the effort needed to live more sustainably across the face of this earth. And I don't just want to put the word we in there. I want to put the word I. I know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. Because sometimes I am as guilty as anybody else saying, what is this going to cost me? And it's not in terms of money. It's very often in terms of my lifestyle. The often misquoted Bible verse tells us that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's not the only cause, but the rich seldom want to suffer for the good of others. In a world that favours the rich, often at the expense of the poor, how we live and how we behave declares what we believe. Do we believe we have a responsibility before God in caring for creation? Do we believe we have a responsibility before God in caring for rich and poor equally? Going back to James' letter. Do our actions reveal our faith in God as Creator, Jesus as Saviour, Holy Spirit as Provider? In Genesis, it's made very clear that God made us out of the earth and there's a little play in of words in there that we sometimes miss because we don't speak Hebrew. And in Hebrew, Adam simply means man or humanity. And the word for the dust of the earth is Adamah. So it's a play on words. From Adamah comes Adam, and Adam returns to Adamah. We are of this earth. But Genesis also tells us that God made us in his image. The God who said, who looked at creation, at what he had made, and said, "This is good." God who in the New Testament is described as love. God is love. It is at the very core of God's being. And so that's the image we were created in. So we have a challenge in our day, and we often hear the excuse, well, what does it matter? I mean, what I do hardly counts, but if I don't do it, can I expect anyone else to do it? We will have read and heard, well, you know, this nation produces such a small amount of carbon dioxide. Does it matter if we are carbon neutral? If we don't do it, why should anybody else do it? And most of all, if we believe that this is God's world, and that we have a God who treats each one of us equally, that we are equal under God, then what we do tells what we believe. And we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So as we go through this month and think about creation, we will come to that moment when we give thanks for the harvest, our absolute dependence upon the fruits of the earth. It is good that we remember who we are under God. Amen. We sing now hymn number 710. I have a dream, a man once said.
Thank you.
now Alistair will lead us in our prayers for others.
So let us come before God once more with our prayers. Lord God, thank you for loving us even when we turn away from you. We are grateful for your constant care and concern. Though we feel unworthy of your great love, we thank you that through our weaknesses you give us strength, and in our wanderings you show us the way. Lord, we continue to pray for the situation in Israel where more hostages were killed this week. We struggle to understand all the complexities, yet while Israel has the right to defend itself, the response is not defence but attack. They have gone far beyond an eye for an eye and have not sought justice but revenge. We do not condemn the people of Israel, for we recognise that these actions are on the orders of one man and his government. We pray that the remaining hostages will be released soon and safely, that the perpetrators will face justice, and also that the carnage will end. We are saddened too by the deaths of more migrants crossing the English Channel. Many come seeking asylum, and not just for economic reasons. We pray that the countries in which they are persecuted and in danger may change, that their governments will provide for their citizens and keeping them safe and secure. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Lord, who for us became a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, we ask that you will bring hope to those who despair, peace to those in distress, and comfort to those who are fearful. May those behind prison bars and those in the outside world receive the freedom you came to bring. We are shocked and saddened too to hear the report of the Grenfell fire disaster in London. Shocked at the catalogue of errors and deceit by the companies involved, the lack of coordination by London Fire Brigade, and the failings of successive governments to address the issue of cladding, apparent since the 1990s. While nothing can bring back loved ones, we pray that the forthcoming police investigation will bring those responsible to justice. And so we pray for social justice. Loving Father, you teach us to seek justice, to defend the oppressed, and take up the cause of the fatherless and the plea of the widow. We ask for breakthrough for those facing situations of injustice across our world. May they know a sense of hope that only you can bring. We pray for our own country following the Scottish Government's decision to cut spending by £500 million. We pray for all who will be impacted by this as we see reduced services both at national and local authority level. All the while, costs to the taxpayer are increasing, including funding for many, more than 60 odd civil servants who are being paid salaries of more than £100,000 a year. Lord God, we pray for the success of Christian schools throughout the world, and especially in lands of great suffering and anti-Christian persecution. We ask you to fill those entrusted with leadership with divine wisdom in governance and management, so that values that affect or reflect the gospel are maintained please raise up and bless the work of godly teachers to train up children in the way they should go, to produce lasting fruit all their lives. Protect and renew people's minds and hearts to receive all the benefits of a Christian education through instruction, practical experience, and healthy social interaction, and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the silence of this moment, we bring you our own personal prayers of those in need of your love and care at this time. So Father, please hear our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Our closing praise, rejoice, the Lord is King. To love and to serve, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.